Monitor now invites you to Meet the Press, America's press conference of the year, winner of every major award in its field. Today's guest on Meet the Press will be Madam Ngo Dinh Nhu, the sister-in-law of President Ngo Hinh Diem of South Vietnam. We will bring you today's program in a moment.
Have a fling, start to swing, don't be square, get somewhere. Most of all, have a ball, jazz it up and have fun, live it up and be a lively one.
Hi there, this is Vic Damone. Weekends are different. So is Monitor. And so are we, the lively ones. We'll be making your listening lively, too, each weekend, as part of Monitor on this NBC station.
Live it up and be a lively one.
Somebody is going to come to you, maybe has already, for your contribution to your United Fund or Community Chest. We want you to know how much good you do when you give. We want you to know that when you give the United Way, it's not for just one health or welfare service. You give for many health and welfare services together, and they help families, children, young people, the elderly, and the sick in many ways. Your one gift works many wonders the United Way. Give your fair share, too. And now meet the press. Today's guest, Madam Ngo Dinh Nhu, the sister-in-law of President Ngo Ninh Diem of South Vietnam. Our panel consists of Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press, Peter Lissagor of the Chicago Daily News, Mrs. May Craig of the Portland, Maine Press Herald, and John Sharkey of NBC News. Ned Brooks is our moderator.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Madam Ngo Dinh Nhu. Madam Nhu's husband is the brother of the president of South Vietnam and his political counselor. She herself is a member of the National Assembly, chief of the Women's Military Organization, and she has been described as one of the most powerful individuals in South Vietnam. The young lady seated next to Madame Nhu is her daughter, Mademoiselle Le Tweet, who is with us to help her mother over any possible difficulty with the English language. And we're ready now to start the questions. Here is Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Madame Nhu, when you arrived in this country, you said, and I quote you, "I'm here to try to understand why we can't get along better." Have you learned why we aren't getting along?
I'm learning quite a lot. Much thanks to the public, and much thanks to the letters which I have received, and which every day arrive more and more. But in general, the answers to that question puzzle me, really puzzle me, because more than saying, I wish to know why we cannot get along better, I have said also, I do not know why you dislike us.
You said you came to clear up some misunderstandings. What misunderstanding do you think you've cleared up so far? Any?
Yes, so far, according to the letters I have received, people have answered like this. They said, "You are disliked and your country and your government, and we cannot get along well just because the world is under... is under a spell. The communist-inspired spell, which is called now liberalism."
What misunderstandings do you think still remain? Would you mention one
according
of the most
to them,
important?
According to the American public, that misunderstanding comes from the fact that we in Vietnam, we still are anti-communist, strongly anti-communist, while according to your own public in America, many responsibles start to change the line and are not so strongly anti-communist as we. And it appears that it is only because we still are too much anti-communist that there is misunderstanding. That if we change more, if we become soft anti-communist, maybe it would be better. There will be no misunderstandings anymore, according to your own public.
Well, Madam New, do you today believe that our government is seeking to overthrow your government? I believe that this was one of the charges that you were quoted as saying when you came to this country, particularly about the USIS. Do you think that our government is trying to overthrow your government?
I do not think that your government really tries to overthrow my government. But I think that your government has been influenced by the local press dispatches coming from Saigon, which inflate everything, and that your government believed that the Vietnamese government would not be able to face that crisis, which the press dispatches in my country inflated. And I think that there was surely an order to seek for a replacement, only for a replacement in case.
Well, one thing, when you spoke at the Overseas Press Club the other day, I believe you said that the U.S. Information Service is helping feverishly a plot to overthrow the South Vietnamese government. Now, what is the USIS doing, or what has it done that justifies that charge, which is a very serious one, because that is an arm of our government?
No, yes, it is true that they do it, they did it, and they still do it, according to what I learned from my country. Because, you know, in my country, your people act very openly, and they speak of anti-coup. Are you anti-coup or are you pro-coup? They do not hide it. But I think that the people in USIS and the press correspondents in Vietnam really think that it is a good thing to overthrow the Vietnamese government, while in fact the order of the American government might just be, if it is true that the crisis is so serious, you in Vietnam, you should seek for a replacement. I think that if there is such an order, that order would be just normal. But instead of only seeking for a replacement, overzeal from a few people, they try to overthrow the government.
I don't quite understand it. Do you think that the head of our government wants to overthrow your government, or
no,
just little people are doing it down below?
No, I have just explained that it might just be an order which, in that case, would be very wise, would be normal, that if the crisis is serious, you should seek for a replacement. I think it is just that. And I do not think that your government wants to overthrow our government.
We'll continue the questions with Mr. Lissagor.
Madam New, many Americans like to write letters, especially to people visiting this country. With 14 to 15,000 Americans in South Vietnam today, do you believe that the United States government is less anti-communist than your brother-in-law's government in Saigon?
Do send 14,000 people in Vietnam, it is true. And but according to the politics of your government, we see that it follows what we call the new fashion in political field now, which is to liberalism. That means which tends to much more towards communism. And I can assure you that the American government, in the Vietnamese eyes, looks much less anti-communist than the Vietnamese government, that is sure.
But the American forces in the American troops in South Vietnam, are they any less anxious to win the war against the Viet Cong guerrillas, do you believe, than your own troops, the South Vietnamese troops?
I think for them, they are anxious to win the war, and they are really anti-communist. But for us, in the Vietnamese eyes, we have the impression that the American government is not so anti-communist as the people they sent in Vietnam.
Well, let me ask you, Madam New, why is it wrong for the United States government, which, as we understand it, spends about $1.5 million a day, why is it wrong for this government to advise your government about certain practices that your government engages in with the people of South Vietnam? Why is that wrong in view of the American investment and involvement?
But I do not understand what you mean by advices. We always try to follow all advices which are good for both sides.
Well, I understand that one of your difficulties with the United States government is that you believe that we are interfering in your internal affairs. Is that not correct?
Oh, but the most obvious thing is the continual question, the constant question people ask us, and President Kennedy himself speaks of change in personnel and in policy, and recently he said that he was not satisfied with the change. But so far we still do not know what change we should do. I am requesting for free talk about it, but we do not know.
Has Ambassador Lodge not conveyed to your brother-in-law, President Diem, what it is that the United States government would like to see him do to use your word, to liberalize his regime?
Officially, there is nothing to do, because, in fact, officially, there is he has not asked anything yet, officially, because there is one thing, and I wish you to remember, that in my country, even those who support us in this country, for instance, even those who support us, they think that, they may be dictatorial, they may be this and they may be that, but at least they are anti-communist. But it is absolutely untrue that we are dictatorial. It is absolutely untrue that we are stubborn in any attempt for progress. I wish to remind you that in my country, nobody is perfect, but in my country, we do our best, we fight, and every day we try to improve ourselves, all every day. And the only thing we wish is to receive advice which we can follow. But here, so far, we have not received any official advice. The only unofficial advice was this, and now I can tell you publicly, and I find it absolutely unreasonable. It is just that my husband and myself, we must leave the country. And we ask, why? Why should we leave the country? Because if we leave the country, the whole country may be demoralized. They may believe that we desert the country. The only thing we request is, if you think that we do something wrong, tell us, and we may improve ourselves.
Is that so, official? You say that the United States government has officially advised that you and your husband leave the country?
No, I say that officially, nothing has been requested. But unofficially, it has been requested that my husband and myself will leave the country. And
how do you do that unofficially, Madam New?
Unofficially, that means it is said to the other ambassadors, and they repeat, telling that it is just an advice from a friend, something like that. You see, but nothing official. So, for that, we say that if we leave the country, but we demoralize the people, it is much better to tell us what's wrong with us, and we may try to improve. But we do not see anything, and we say, but what is the reason for that exile? And it is said, it is in the opinion. It is the opinion, and now we must bow to the opinion because of the forthcoming election. And I said, but it is absolutely silly. The solution to misinformation is not at all to bow to misinformation, but to inform. So if something wrong with us, tell us. We shall improve ourselves. But if we leave the country like this, people will believe that we desert the country, that even in the family, they dare not to support their brother whom everybody is beating. So it is the only thing, and that's why I cannot understand that cut of the economic aid to request the pressure, but we do not even know what do you want.
Mrs. Craig.
Yeah, Madam New, did your President Diem authorize you to make this visit?
In fact, to tell you the truth, And I think that he will be very unhappy if I have not seen him for 4 months. And each time when I leave, even for a short, even when I leave for a brief time, Saigon, I always go to say him goodbye, to say goodbye to him, just out of courtesy.
Do you?
But this time I did not do it, because just in order to be able to say that I have not seen him for 5 months now, not 4 months, because I have left.
Do you hold any official position in the government there?
I do not hold any official position, but I speak as exactly like a human being who cannot bear when she sees an innocent being beaten by everybody, being drowned by everybody, even if I see a dog. Which everybody wants to drown. I shall stop to ask, but why did you drown that dog? And of course they will tell me that dog is mad. But I say, are you sure that it is mad?
Madame,
so I'm just acting like that.
The new ambassador from your country to this country says that you do not reflect, the opinions you express, do not reflect the policy and position of the Vietnamese government. Now, whom do you represent, inasmuch as 70% of the people of your country are Buddhist?
To say that 70% of my country is Buddhist is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. First, in my country, the main religion is Confucianism, and it is not Buddhism. And for Buddhism, I wish to tell you that the laic leader, Mr. Mai Tho Truong, means the political-like leader of the protesting group itself, in 1961, has published in a book saying that the movement has 1 million out of 14 million, 1 million of adherents out of 14 million inhabitants. So he himself said that. So I wonder on, and even that million that he claims in the book printed in 1961, and signed by him, he has never proved that number. So I wonder on what basis people can say that the Buddhists are...
Madame, I understand your father is also against your trip. Have you seen him, and do you expect to?
Oh, my father is against me from my childhood. And it is... for me, it is a family tragedy, but there is a kind of incompatibility. But I have called him twice, once in Washington and once here. Once in Washington, they have left both, and once here in New York, they have left both. But I expect to see them in Washington.
Do you expect to see President Kennedy?
No, I do not intend to bother anybody. I have said several times that I know too much. It is unfortunate, but I have become, in spite of myself, a controversial person, and I do not wish to embarrass anybody. But it does not mean at all that I have boycotted President Kennedy.
Mr. Sharkey.
Madam Nu, if we could return to something that was discussed earlier. This order that you say was sent out from Washington, that a replacement government be sought.
I know. It is just a supposition. Supposition. I think that it might be something like that, that Washington, believing, reading all the press dispatches, and for that we must not be too amazed, because as I repeatedly say, the all governments strive for peace and order, while all press correspondents thrive on trouble and disorder. So I think that the press correspondents, they wanted to inflate anything they see to make them sensational. But it is unfortunate that instead of believing us, I think that Washington might believe the press dispatches more. And if it believes, surely they could have given an order telling seek for a replacement in case if all those things are true. But I have never said that it is a specific order that I have seen.
But you say you've seen the evidence of this order in press dispatches from Saigon?
No. What order in press? I see only that, like anybody, I see that the people... in in the USIS. They speak very freely with anybody, asking them, are you pro-coup, are you anti-coup, and saying themselves that they are pro-coup and something like that. So I call that those very open attitude, which is not very suitable for foreigners in a friendly country. I find it strange, feverish, fidgety.
Mr. Spivak.
I do not see any other evidences.
Mr. Spivak.
Madam New, when General Taylor and Secretary McNamara returned from your country, he said there was a political crisis there, and he spoke of repressive action that your country was taking. Now, is there no political crisis in your country?
Oh, of course, there is now a very artificial one. There is one... artificial. That means that from the very beginning, we have repeatedly said that the Viet Cong, means the communists from the north, wanted for 2 years and last year also to create and to provoke a religious crisis in Vietnam. The 2 years before, it was to, because they believed that we were in difficult position, and they believed that they could finish us with a religious crisis this year, because they see that they are defeated, they are being defeated, so they want to create that crisis just to, not no more to finish us, but just to save themselves from defeat. And we have explained that several times to everybody, that don't pay attention to those things. They have no support. It is only the communist underground which supports them. Nobody believed us. Nobody believed us, and they preferred to believe the press dispatches and all that. And so finally, the balloon became so big that we had to prick it. But when we prick it, everybody was angry.
Madam New, your father was ambassador. He represented your government in Washington for 9 years. Isn't that true?
Yes, 8 years.
For almost
maybe
9 years. Mm-hmm. And he said on a broadcast last week, the present regime in Vietnam is so backward, inefficient, and oppressive that it has become the greatest asset to the communists and the biggest obstacle to the victory in Vietnam. Now, how do you explain that after 9 years?
Oh, I know perfectly why he says all those things, because I know the personal resentments. But the only thing I can tell you, in that war against communism, we must remember one thing. It is that we are winning. We are absolutely winning. And that I cannot understand why it is not repeated enough. The free world so far has always withdrawn. You were always withdrawn. You have always given up without a fight, without a struggle. For once, that there is a struggle, that there is a showdown that we have accepted, and that we are winning. You let yourself be confused by people who judge from afar on facts which always deny all their words. My father says that, but does he possess the truth? And the facts are proving that he's wrong.
Your father is wrong, our president is wrong, Mr. McNamara is wrong, General Taylor is wrong, all the newspapers are wrong, everybody is wrong, Madam.
No, it is not. It is not that, of course, I cannot say that all those people are wrong. Now, I think that all of them, they know the truth. But what is bad is that except for my father, but for a few people, there was a fickle moment of error. That is human. But what is not good is that for them, the question of faith is stronger than the question of justice. So now with declarations which try at the same time to conciliate with the facts, with proof that they were wrong for a little while, and so they make the declarations which are a little confusing. But in fact, it is just that. They may err for a little moment, but that is human. What is bad? As I repeat, to err is human, but to persevere is diabolical.
We have about 1 minute. Mr. Lissacombe.
Madam, you are so critical of the United States. Do you want the United States to pull out its men and its money?
I am
yes.
I am critical of the United States?
Yes, you are.
Oh, But if you take dust in that way, so I do not understand what to do. I think on the contrary, that I'm your good ally, that by emphasizing what is bad and what is good, what are telling you exactly that even when there are errors, it is not because that a few of those errors are American, that I am an entire American.
Madam No,
it is my duty to tell it. Do you not think that you should rather thank me?
Could I ask you a quick last question, Madam New? From what you say, do I understand you to mean that you don't think there's any alternative to American aid in South Vietnam? Is that correct?
Why, no alternative. I see only now that we are in the last minutes of
in the last 15 minutes
of the last battle, and I do not see why we should now just because I do not know of what by what we call
Byzantine. I'm going to have to interrupt, but our time is up. Thank you very much, Madam New, for being with us.
Thank you, Ned Brooks. In just a moment, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this week's Meet the Press interview.
This is Chet Huntley, NBC News, New York, inviting you to join me each day, Monday through Friday, for my perspective on the news. Whether we pay tribute to one of the last steam locomotives in America or analyze the present state of Soviet-American relations, Perspective on the News attempts to bring into sharper focus the meaning behind today's often complex headlines, helps you to consider important events and their relationship to you. Perspective on the News, daily, on this NBC radio station.
Auguste Renoir, the great French Impressionist, painted some of his greatest masterpieces from a wheelchair. John Milton wrote some of his most stirring poetry after his blindness. Beethoven composed his greatest music after his deafness. These masters of the arts have left us a lasting message of hope. A handicap, they tell us, cannot throttle genius, neither can it stifle ability. All of which is something for employers to keep in mind. Ability should be the main criterion in your hiring practices. This means giving the handicapped equal opportunity in filling your job vacancies. This means selective placement, matching the man or woman to the job. This means concentrating on a person's ability, not his disability. Employers, you'll find that it is good business and good common sense to hire the handicapped. Call the local office of your state employment office, and please remember, hire the handicapped. Now, more details on Meet the Press. Today's guest was Madam Ngo Dinh Nhu, the sister-in-law of the president of South Vietnam. And the panel consisted of Lawrence Spivak, producer of Meet the Press, Peter Lissagor of the Chicago Daily News, Mrs. May Craig of the Portland, Maine Press Herald, and John Sharkey, NBC News. For a printed copy of today's Meet the Press interview, send 10 cents in coin and a stamped self-addressed envelope to Merkle Press, M-E-R-K-L-E, Merkle Press, 809 Channing Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. Meet the Press will not be heard next Sunday.